as the war continues to rage on, the Russia invasion of Ukraine, a tremendous toll on cities and individuals, and a lot of concern worldwide about the way Russia is conducting this war. And joining us to discuss a couple of topics in regard to that, a legal expert on the Russian-Ukraine war, international law violations, and the like, Western Michigan University Cooley Law Professor David Finnegan is joining us this morning on WKZO. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Ken, and thanks for having me on.
Well, a pleasure to chat with you on this serious topic. Well, up to this point, it appears that Russia and specifically Vladimir Putin have pretty much thumbed their noses at sanctions and international condemnation. What makes us think that perhaps he might be intimidated by being charged with war crimes? Is he just likely to ignore all this? How is this impacted?
Well, in my view, an important goal of the international legal framework here is to provide a mechanism for holding Vladimir Putin, other Russian political leaders, the military responsible for violations of international law in war crime. And the kind of legal machinery provides one front on which to seek to hold him accountable, to declare what Russia has been doing illegal, to document instances of war crimes, to gather and preserve evidence for later war crimes proceedings, and ultimately to isolate the Russian regime, to make Russia a pariah in the international community, and to push Russia toward a diplomatic resolution of the crisis. You know, it's interesting, after touring various sites in Ukraine this past week, the United Nations Secretary General opined that this war is unfortunately only going to end when Russia decides to end it. So in my opinion, one important task right now is to continue the process of documenting instances of war crimes that we've been unfortunately reading about, hearing about in the media over the past weeks.
Our guest is Western Michigan University Cooley Law School Professor David Finnegan, a legal expert on this topic, and has published three video blog posts that take a look at some of the topics connected to this war. Another concern, as I mentioned, as to how Russia is conducting this war is the use of certain weaponry. What are the possible ramifications of some of the weapons being used in this war in connection with war crimes?
Right. So the law of war, the sort of body of international rules designed to regulate how countries go about using force during armed conflict, also attempts to regulate the types of weapons that can be used during conflict. And in fact, there are a number of treaties and other international agreements that attempt to ban the use of certain weapons. And so we've seen over the past months credible reports of Russia using cluster munitions, cluster bombs, which are particularly nasty because they're indiscriminate in impacting civilian populations. And according to one European organization, Russia's use of these weapons in Ukraine is well documented. Now, there is a treaty out there that bans these weapons. Russia has not signed that treaty, and neither has Ukraine for that matter, but it's nonetheless concerning. There have also been reports that Russia has deployed thermobaric weapons, so-called vacuum bombs. The Ukrainian ambassador to the United States has accused Russia of using this type of weapon. There have been fears based on some saber rattling coming out of the Kremlin that Russia might think about deploying tactical nuclear weapons or chemical weapons. And so the world is monitoring quite closely how Russia has decided to deploy and use certain weaponry. And you know, the deployment of weapons that fail to distinguish between civilians and non-combatants, that cause unnecessary suffering on both civilians and combatants, Those present some challenging international legal issues.
Given everything that you've laid out for us on this topic this morning, do you see at all a tipping point that would put the U.S. Squarely into this conflict in Ukraine, U.S. involvement in the Russia-Ukraine war, anything at all that would trigger that?
Well, from the standpoint of international law, the type of assistance that the United States is providing to Ukraine, military and other assistance, is generally not enough to make the United States a co-belligerent, you know, alongside Ukraine in the war. But I think if there's any risk, it's the risk that Russia will take some steps that cause that tipping point to be reached. For example, if the hostilities spill across the borders into neighboring countries like Poland, who is a NATO member, or Moldova, or if Russia decides to deploy as part of its saber-rattling tactical nuclear weapons, I think those are the type of military decisions that might alter the strategic calculation for the United States and its NATO allies.
What's Vladimir Putin's end game? Why is he doing this?
Well, it is unclear. I would say two things. One, I think there's an effort to exert Russian control over the eastern part of Ukraine, the Donbas region. Russia, several months ago, recognized the breakaway republics of Donetsk and Luhansk. And by asserting control over that part of Ukraine, Russia's attempting, it seems, to open up a land bridge between the southern Crimean region, which it has controlled since 2014. To me, that is at least one goal. But a second goal, and there have been troubling allegations coming out of Ukraine, that Russia is attempting to suppress Ukrainian national identity and replace it with a Russian culture, Russian identity in Ukraine. And that's quite troubling. And so, you know, it's unclear ultimately what the end game is going to be. But at the current time, that seems to be the key strategic goals coming out of the Kremlin.
Western Michigan University Cooley Law School Professor David Finnegan has been our guest, and he, along with Michael McDaniel, former Deputy Assistant General for Home Security, retired Brigadier General, have created a video blog sharing various interpretations of international law as it pertains to this Russia-Ukraine war. And he's been our guest this morning on a couple of the topics related to that, and we appreciate your time and sharing your expertise with us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Kalamazoo Mornings with Ken Lanphier on Monday on 590 and 106.9 FM WKZO.